Good morning. Somewhere along the line between yesterday and today, Pastor got sick, and Pastor Mitch and Mark would be glad to know that I fixed my phone so that I can receive calls at weird hours, and Pastor's came through. I call that my child's line, by the way. Anybody that's super important to me that I would interrupt anything for, it's my... Anyway, it came through, and I got the message this morning. Thanks, Pastor. I know you're out there watching. Everybody say hello to Pastor Powell. Get better wherever you are. There you are. We love you, Pastor, and thank God for your life. And all the messages that we've had, by the way, preceding this last few weeks, please re-listen, because God is way ahead of us. He's way ahead of us, and he gave some amazing word through our pastor, and so I encourage you to listen to those services. And yesterday, what a special time. And God gave Elvin Rice a poem this morning, and he had to go because he's sick, so we ran this. He said, to Isaac James Woolham, though I only got to hold you once, maybe twice, every time I saw you, my soul filled with delight. Your love for people knew no bounds. Now in heaven you are found. Parted now, we are to be without your smile. We will bear for a while. One day the trumpet will sound. Together we will be heaven bound. And that was, God gave Elvin that this morning. And I know God's speaking to a lot of people right now. And we're going to get to hear those things and fellowship around those things as we go. And anyway, the thought that I wanted to bring in today, and kind of gave it all to God at 6 o'clock. I'm like, okay, got to preach. Okay, all right, God, what are you going to do here? I'm still in that mode. Like, what are you going to do here, God? And. I do believe through encouraging words. By the way, I didn't say they'll listen better. I said they'll pay even more attention now. I got to just take that little bit. It was a little, yeah, it was like I was giving you some credit there. No, but because there's no words, we got to kind of like use all our senses. That's, but anyways, Pastor Kevin. And I don't hear you going, wow, wow, wow. Never. Never. Let's get these things straight before we move on. No. Thank God for the worship that we have, and you as our worship leader. It's amazing. Aren't we blessed? We are so blessed. So we may kind of go like this and wave in and wave out. I really do want to be led by the Spirit. But one of the things that as we enter into this season, in this season that we're already in, meaning our own church's experience and the Powells and the Woolhams and all this, you know, we enter into this Christmas season, and for me, I guess this would be my 60th Christmas. You know, I don't remember the first four. I think I remember five and on. And I just started to think about our you know, what we're going to experience again. And then I started to think, what does God want me to experience? Because the day that Jesus Christ advented onto this earth and stepped in, a lot of people had certain anticipations and certain expectations, and it didn't go the way they thought it was going to go. And if you've studied the fullness of times in Galatians 4:4, there's been a lot of scholars that have spoken to that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let's turn in the Word of God this morning to Isaiah chapter 7 as we get ready to go into this Christmas week. And Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And then if you'll turn over to Isaiah 9:6, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this is the one the world, Israel, was longing for, this one who would bring deliverance and bring in the strength of God, because it had been lacking through the centuries. And so I want us just to ponder a little bit today about anticipation, as I just back up, the anticipation that they had, the anticipation that we have, the anticipation, you know, what is your anticipation of Christmas this year? Beautiful lights hanging outside, beautiful Christmas tree, maybe a little better than last year. I don't know what your anticipation, and I'm saying that, of course, we're believers in Christ. It's much more than that. But what is our anticipation as we celebrate the advent of Jesus Christ? The anticipation's a funny thing, by the way. You know, as I just started to reflect briefly on my anticipation, in my anticipations in life, anticipation is a feeling of excitement about something pleasant or exciting that you know is going to happen, right? I had my grandmother, on my dad's side, would always give me gifts, and I would anticipate great gifts on Christmas from both sets of my grandparents. And but Nanny, one Christmas, I was so excited, everybody's coming over to the house, Christmas tree packed, and I'm like, she's going to get me the big gift, right? Nanny's got it coming to me. She's getting me the big gift. So I was so excited to open this box, but inside the box was like, I opened it up, just, you can just imagine, I was so excited. I was thinking of probably a little bit like Isaac, you know. I was just like, I was ready. And I opened that box, and I found an orange pair of socks, brand new socks. Orange. How disappointed I was. It traumatized me. I mean, I'm still like, right now, I'm like, oh, I'm going home. It was like, we anticipate things, right? And we there's other things that I've anticipated that have been pretty fulfilling. But even so, not 100% orange socks, by the way. What? It was the 70s, but still, the sock. It was both. Socks and color. Anyway, I never wore them, by the way. Never wore them. I don't know what I did with them. I don't remember seeing them again, actually. But anyway, so but we anticipate, and sometimes we anticipate things that kind of meet our expectations, right? And then other times, not so much, but good. I went to Disneyland. That was good. Didn't take the place of the body of Christ. So we anticipate things, and they're never always exactly the way, but they can get close. Well, when Christ came, I want to just say for the children of Israel, I don't think it was close. I think it could have been a little bit more like orange socks. Whatever. It was like for the religious people of the day, it was not what they expected. And so my question to us again today is, what do we expect? What do we expect? Is it what God expects? Because we know the verse, right? By the way, Scripture, through the situation that's happened with the loss, or heaven's gain of Isaac, our temporary loss, God's going to make things new. Life will not be the same for the Powells and the Woolhams, but God will bring life in ways that they would have never expected. Scripture is going to read differently. For many of us, those that have had these losses, you'll read Scripture and it'll be brand new. Today, I hope it is. It'll be life-giving. It'll be different. Life will be different. And so the question is again, what do I anticipate? Because we set ourselves up for failure so often when we don't anticipate what God has planned. When we don't realize that His ways are not my ways, His thoughts are not my thoughts, right? He is so, God, the sovereign one who is above all, is, as we mentioned just a minute ago, so far ahead of things and has such a view of things that we can only just begin to understand. And so in my anticipation of Christmas this year, of Christ and celebration of the Advent, I want to kind of reframe the whole thing to more of a heavenly frame of what God wants us to get. The life that God wants to bring to us. Because it's so different. It's so different than what we would expect. And it's so wonderfully different. It's so great. It's so greatly beyond our expectations, you know. I got to be careful because I create my own expectations. I'm just looking at Holly over here, who also, her baby's in heaven too. Saul, look at what we start to see. God has so much more than we would have thought. It doesn't replace, but it's so beyond what we would think. It's going to be so beyond, and you can look forward to that. And you know, though now in darkness, God speaks in Matthew 10. In darkness, God speaks. This is my anticipation. I hope I bear that with you today, is that in darkness, God will speak. And what he speaks, one day we will speak in the light. We will speak to others. And God's life will come forth for many unanticipated, right? It was unanticipated. I didn't know this would happen. Watch out. That's all I can say is just watch out. Beware, because it's going to be life-giving as we submit ourselves to what God would have and the plan that God has for us. So he promised that this virgin would bear a child and that she would give birth and they would call his name Emmanuel. What's the word Emmanuel mean? Anybody? God with us. In Hebrew actually brings out, it's more even God in us. God in us. It's God with us, God in us, God through us. It's like, I will bring forth a child and he will be one. And he's not going to just be with us as a conqueror, the one who will bring victory. He's going to be in us to do the same, in us, whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation. So Jesus Christ came. There was this great anticipation among the Jews of that time that the Messiah would come and finally end that perpetual captivity, that perpetual domination of nations, which, by the way, that's the whole Old Testament. We read through, we see Egypt come, dominate, oppress, we see deliverance, we see the judges. The judges is, by the way, if you want to read a depressing book, read Judges. It's all about Israel's oppressors and deliverance, and then they kind of disbelief, and then oppression, and Samson and Delilah, and all these different, Deborah rather, and all these deliverances that take place. But they were crying out for Emmanuel. God will be with us now. He will be the one who will deliver us from these oppressors, finally. And that's what sticks out in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God would come and he would deliver this nation, but it didn't happen the way that they anticipated. And this is the question to me, to you, do your expectations, your anticipations, do they exceed his purposes, his intentions? Do they exceed, or we could say subseed, if that's a word, right? Do they more align with what he would have, that kind of awe and waiting? You know, you just picture Mary figuring it out, that I've bore the Son of God. It took time to reveal, for her to figure out what was taking place. I've given birth to the Son of God. And then her watching him get crucified. And so anticipation, right? It was all over the place. It was probably destroyed in so many ways for her. And so Christ, so just thinking of this Christmas theme, he steps down out of heaven into eternity, into this world. Light steps into darkness, right? Are we in darkness today? A little bit, right? I don't want to get too pessimistic, but the times we're in are really, I think there's a lot of comparison to the time that Christ did step down in his first advent. Times are very similar, with all these people and governments that want to provide deliverance and final peace. We know that it's only going to come through Jesus Christ. It's only going to come. We read it in the back of the book, right? Revelation chapter 21, it's going to come through Jesus Christ, who will come and he will reign. And he'll wipe away all the tears in Revelation 21:4. And he will conquer. And he will be our majestic ruler. And we will live after that 1,000-year millennial reign. We will enter into the eternity. And that'll be a wonderful time as with him as the true ruler, the one who the Jews had expected to come. This is still going to happen. It's just his timing is not our timing. I think Roberta and I just said that coming in this morning. He does things on a wholly different time frame than we're accustomed to, or that we would wish or anticipate. So, my anticipation, as a believer, by the way, is that once Christ stepped into my life, that I just kind of, and it's interesting, I think he's been so gracious to wean me along to say, Jim, your anticipation was a little different than mine for your life. But when he stepped into my life, I just did think, I said, oh, suffering and affliction. I'm going to be free from suffering and affliction. Any threats against me will not overcome, right? And I, listen to this, and persecution, not me, right? Sickness, disease, old age. I think my subconscious just thought, ain't going to happen. I'm not dying. I have Jesus Christ in me, by the way, I do. And I will never die, in Matthew chapter 11, even if I die. That's scripture, by the way. I didn't just sound confusing there. It's actually in John chapter 11. I may die, but I'll never die. But I thought all these things, and I had a little distorted anticipation of what was going to be when Jesus stepped into my life. And then, as time goes on, even this week, he's just changing things, and they're changing to the glory of God, and it's kind of like I'm finding, oh my gosh, by the way, it's sad when the church and leadership in the church wrongly anticipate the plan of God. I see this a lot at the hospital. I'm in the sense of got just a 97-year-old woman of God who's supposed to be going home, and there's a pastor in there screaming and yelling, saying, be healed! Get up! Wrong anticipation. I'm just saying. It's like it's time for her to go home and be with Jesus and have ultimate, there's two kinds of healing. There's one where you stand up and walk around again, and then there's ultimate healing where you stand up in glory in heaven and you're completely and fully healed. And so there's these wrong, and the church can get way off on anticipating who this one who stepped into darkness was, who this one who stepped into our world was. And it changes. It wasn't just for the power, but it was for other things. So the verse that I would go to right now is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. This is going to get a little closer to what this arrival, this advent of Jesus is all about. It says Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and she the prophecy here of Joseph's dream, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now all that was done, as I read on here in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God in us, which being interpreted as God or God with us. So it's like this is what it was about. It was that he would come and that he would save his people from their sins. And now we know, as believers, that this has certainly taken place, that he stepped into Jim Cornwell's life to do a little bit different than what I would have thought. He came in, and he took away, and this was the work that had to take place in my life before I reign in heaven with him. He took away my shame. He took away my guilt. He took away my fear. He took away my anger. And he took away a thousand other miseries, the miseries that you might not know that I have, and the miseries that you may have right now. And he comes and he's doing another work first. He's removing my sin. He's taking care of all these imperfections. He's doing something way beyond. That's why I come to church, is because I want to be changed day by day. I want to be transformed into the image of my Savior, Jesus Christ, because he stepped into my life to provide this, to deliver me from myself, to set me free from it. And he wasn't going to just do it all at once. He's going to do it a different way. And let me step aside from myself for a minute. That's always a good thing to do. And know that he was doing it for the world. He was, since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's done it for us. There's many that sit and wait for this time of redemption that they don't even know it's coming. And now just be thinking about the advent of Jesus. Who's Jesus? How can I speak to somebody this month about Christmas? And how might Jesus advent and step into their lives using me and this glory that dwells in this earthen vessel? How is he going to do it? How might he do it? Through suffering? Maybe. I don't like that way. If Jim was God, we'd be in trouble, right? Suffering? We're learning suffering. We're learning it. We're learning it. We're learning that through it. And I want to read, actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today, brand new. 2 Corinthians, let's read it right now. I said we kind of, Evan, we just go with what God, let's read it. Let's read this in fresh, brand new context. Therefore, seeing in verse 1, I'm going to read through the whole portion. Therefore, seeing, and I'm going to try not to make commentary. So help me out. Somebody just whistle when I get off onto commentary, okay? I'll actually have Bill do that. Bill, remind me. Bill's not listening. There he is. He waved. All right. Whistle, Bill. All right. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine into darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is why Christ stepped into our lives, by the way, this chapter. It's so that the light could shine, not in ways that we would have ever anticipated, but in ways that he had foreordained. And by the way, Psalm 23, preceding Isaac's going into heaven, was thematic, and then the day of, and all, and so on. And the one verse that just sticks out to me more than ever in that portion is not all the beautiful verses surrounding, but I think it's verse 5, maybe, Pastor? It's 3 or 5. It says, it talks about, for he leadeth me in paths of righteousness, guides me in paths of righteousness. For what? For what? His namesake. And before this week, I took that as like, oh, all these things that I don't want in my life, paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it gave me capacity to be able to have hope that all that takes place and all we bear, the pain, the suffering, that it'll be for his name's sake. And I'm like, amen, yes, this is it. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That we would shine. And you say, I don't know if I do it that way. God knows what he's doing. And if we can just yield to that, watch out, because God's going to... I got to be careful, because I won't be able to finish if I start talking to Callan and Mark. But you were so brave yesterday. You were a leader in this. When you got up here to sing, you just like, I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, this woman is light. Broken vessel, shining, giving me strength to go, giving that guy next to you, and your husband, just strength. You were a leader. I know you were asked by somebody, but you did it. Mark asked you to do it. And it was bold, and it just gave me like total, just sitting there saying, how can I stop, right? And so thank you, because you live this right here. A treasure on earth. I know you probably yourself, if you interviewed yourself, weren't ready, right? Yeah, you were. You did, and you were obedient. And this is what our walk with Christ lives. And you're going to, as Christ comes to us this Christmas, just realize it and look at it in a whole different light, because he's going to do something way different in 2023. You know, if we can just, these times, these seasons, these holidays are good for us because I always do that, right? They wake us up. They bring us into proper perspective. They give us life. Hopefully, right? That's hopefully what these seasons will do. They're markers. That's why we take communion, by the way. And that's why we do baptisms, right? And it's like, God has a different plan. It's a reminder to say God has a different plan. His body, and just as I digress just for a minute, his body, to partake of his body and his blood, what? Right? Read John chapter 6, 24 and on. And you'll see that many followed him no more in John 6, 66, because what? I didn't anticipate. What is this I'm involved with? Right? Something much higher than a man could ever figure. Or a woman could ever figure, something much greater. And Jesus Christ said, I'm not leaving. By the way, back to the holiday, the communion, the ritual that we have, if that's what, remembrance ceremony of communion, is to fellowship in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor's been speaking all into this time about Colossians 1:24 that we share. You mean you came down to earth for us to finish up your sufferings? Yes. What? Yes. And he will give us the will and the to-do of his good pleasure. It's not like I have to do it, because that would be, I'd quit right away. It's like he will give us the will and the to-do of his good pleasure, including the sufferings that we will partake of. You know, nothing touches me more when I'm up at the hospital and I see a believer dying who's in pain, but just because they're not getting delivered from pain. They've got it. They're about to be delivered, right? I'm talking about believers that are entering into eternity. They're about to be delivered from pain, and then they just say, it's okay, Jim. You know, I've shared this before. I'll never forget this guy. He was in pain, suffering. It was hard, perplexed. And he just rubbed me on the head. He says, you okay? I'm like, what? God's got me. God's got me. And then he died the next day. You know, it's like they saw something different. They had a different anticipation than I did. And that's why we can get so off, and we have to be careful to watch when we bear witness to somebody's suffering and not try to go into fix mode, right? But maybe just sit beside or whatever it is. Something I share, because it's part of my life. It actually makes this quote that I've read before, but it just helps me have perspective on why Christ stepped into this earth. And by the way, the days come, we're going to end on what we can anticipate, because we can anticipate what the Word of God declares. We can anticipate that Jesus Christ is coming home, and he's going to come, and he is going to raise us as believers up into the clouds. We're going to meet him in the clouds in 1 Thessalonians 4. And then after the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, which we can certainly anticipate, we can't begin to anticipate the joy it's going to be. Talk about Disneyland, right? The joy and how far exceeding it is than anything I could have ever expected or anticipated there at the end of 2 Corinthians 4. It's going to be unbelievable. And then to rejoice with those that I know we've heard it before, we're the ones left behind. And yes, we are. And heaven is getting so close for us, eschatologically, meaning that in the times that we're in, it's getting closer together because of the loved ones we have sitting waiting for us. Sometimes I feel like we could punch a hole through and hold hands with somebody. I don't want to get weird, and don't go there. Don't try that stuff. I know, Callan, you can, but it's that close. And we're going to get it. And we're going to have it. That's the promises. That's God's promises to us. He promised that he'd send Emmanuel. Why? Not for, like, big-time deliverance, freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from... That's ultimate. That's coming. But for now, it's for cleansing. It's for me being healed. It's Galatians 5. It's for the sake of freedom that I can go forth and magnify Jesus Christ. In Galatians 5:1. It's like a whole different story. But for now, I have this treasure, an earthen vessel. And I'm going to kind of yield to the plan that God has, that God's manifesting and revealing. It gives me great hope. It gives me capacity to stand, to hang in there. The body of Christ just gives me the strength to do it. It makes the Word of God a reality, being hid in the body of Christ. It makes it a living reality for me. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. But I read this from C.S. Lewis because it just has always struck me, and I can't quite get it off my shoulders because it speaks to anticipation, wrong anticipation. So C.S. Lewis, he asks, isn't God supposed to be good? Isn't he supposed to love us? This was after a tremendous loss he had. Does God want us to suffer? And then he said, what if the answer to that question is yes? He says, I suggest to you that it is because God loves us that he makes us the gift of suffering. Don't like it as a human being, right? But as time goes on, we see the gift of suffering. Christ's ultimate, that he's the ultimate example, right? Suffered, died. He came, Emmanuel, to be with me, to take my sins away. That's why I read that verse there with Joseph's dream, to deliver me from sin. Christ is our example of suffering for the sake of life. And God has total victory over the things of this earth and the wicked one. Total victory. One day we will stand there and we'll say, just in Isaiah 14, is this the one, the puny little that destroyed the nations? We got victory coming. It's going to be great. But we got victory right now in this body, this earthen vessel that I have. And so he goes on to say, he says, so I suggest to you that it is because God loves us that he makes us the gift of suffering. And then he goes on, he says, and this is what really gave me pause and really I was frustrated with. I'm not sure that God wants us to be happy. What? That's what this nation's all about, right? He says, I think he wants us to be able to love and be loved. He wants us to grow up. We think all our childish toys bring us all the happiness there is. And our nursery is the whole wide world. Right? I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to go do that, I want to go do this. But something must drive us out of the nursery to the world of others. And that something is suffering. So suffering will come. God will give us what we need to get through it. I watch my brothers and sisters in Christ demonstrate that to me all the time. You become part of the hope that's within me as I watch and we hold you up. And we do hold you guys up. But you become life and something that speaks the message, and you become these earthen vessels that shine forth the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to happen. When you suffer, we think back, we read these passages, the Word of God, we believe God. Nothing makes God more pleased than when we just believe, and Pastor spoke to this yesterday, when we just believe what he has accomplished. He came to Thomas, and Thomas said, except I see the nails in your hand, the spear wound in your side, I will not believe. And so graciously, Jesus moved into him, right? And moved towards him and said, feel it, touch it. And he said, and John 20 says, you know, blessed are you that, I forget how it went, blessed are you that have seen, but or blessed are those that don't see and yet believe. Thomas, you've seen. Blessed are those that don't see and yet believe. You are blessed. You are, God is so pleased. And I know that doesn't take it away, the suffering, the darkness that we go through, but God is so pleased with you today. And you are a hero of the faith. You know, if we could add that to that list, it would just go on and on and on because of believers that anticipate properly and adjust what their anticipation was, you know. I throw the analogy of my grandmother away because it's not helpful right now at all. God had a whole nother plan when he came to this earth. And so we're going to finish, we're going to just wrap it up here. So Christ's advent, he came to save us from our sins. He came so that we might fill up his sufferings. He came to be crucified so that others can live. We also now. He gave us the blessing of believing and yet not seeing. He is the one who has made us more than conquerors. And we will see this one day so much further beyond what we perceive with our human, even with the Holy Spirit, with our human perception of how God speaks to us right now. It's going to become so much clearer. It's when the veil of this flesh is done away with and we get to witness how much of a conqueror we indeed are. And, you know, he awaits the day where he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I had a plan. You believed. You couldn't see much of the time, but you believed. You couldn't see the end from the beginning. You didn't understand the whys, but you just believed. And it's going to be a great day. And we celebrate today with each other in it. But wait till the day we see. We can't see what heaven has in store for us. And we wait. So, what's going to be your anticipation as you get ready to celebrate this 60th, for me, Christmas? Let's let it be a little different. Let's let the context, the times that we're in, the context of the day change, make this Christmas the best Christmas we've ever had that human beings that don't know Jesus won't understand, but they'll see it through you. Let's anticipate something different this year as we await. And so, God, we just love you and we thank you. And if there's anybody here who's never received this Christ that we speak about, the one who came to clean us up, to sanctify us and set us apart holy, the one who came to deliver us from our sins, from our grief, from our guilt and shame, that something only you can do, Jesus, only you can do it. Only you can take away the guilt and the shame, the effects, the ramifications of our sin. Only you. And so we thank you for stepping into our life. And if there's anybody here you want Jesus to step into your life today, that's that him coming in, coming down, coming in, then you just say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I receive you into my life. I take you as my Lord, my Savior. And if you said that prayer, you tell the person you came with, you can talk to one of us, the leaders, and you can just share that I received Christ. Once you do that, he's got you. You are blood bought. The blood of Jesus Christ redeems you once and for all from sin. It keeps you, it preserves you, it protects you, and it assures that you're going to enter into this place that we just spoke about in Revelation, that it's going to be wonderful. So if you said that, you connect with somebody here in this church, and I just thank you for making that decision. And then God bless us as we go. We hold up to you Mark and Callan. We just present them to you once again today as a body. Bless them. Be with them. And Mitch and Roberta too, Lord. Just we hold them up to you and the family, all those that are we're so close to this family and to Isaac. We just hold them up. We pray, God, and we look forward with great anticipation. We don't see it today so much yet, but we look forward with great anticipation with what you're going to do and the life that you're going to bring. So we love you. Bless our pastor, God. We pray that you'll just heal him and give him strength and let him rest and get his body back into strength. Thank you for our pastor, so faithful to the Word of God, so faithful to lead us and to guide us in the best of times and in the worst of times. We just thank you for a pastor, a shepherd, a watchman who does this. And bless Sue too. Just be with that. Be with them. And so we just love you and we thank you. And God, just bless this Christmas season as never before as we anticipate your work. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.